When I went to the church in Connecticut on Friday, it's called the Tabernacle of Deliverance and Praise. So I said to the Lord when I first heard that I needed to go there, okay, Lord, what do you want? And there was a great big press in my heart about the word tabernacle. And there was one theme that came back to me from the season and the feast that we had. It was on one of the morning sessions. And I did confess that morning that I didn't see myself as a temple at all or a tabernacle. I saw myself as a shack for years.
A shack?
Shack. I also related that when I was in Israel, that when Abraham and Isaac went up to the mountain, chances are that they were on the mountain of the city of Jerusalem. And there's a cave there. It happens to be well hidden. Because when I visited there in 99, Gail was with us, and we went inside the Dome of the Rock. And when you go inside, on the very center of that building is a cave. And I went inside that cave, and we were told we had to be bare feet, by the way, or with socks. And we were told that we were to stay on the carpet, and we were also commissioned not to pray. But he didn't say anything about talking in tongues, so I didn't pray. Because I have two languages that I could have prayed in. But when I went down into that cave, there was a very strong press not to walk on the carpet, which was about 2.5 inches thick. Real cheap stuff, you know, they put in the caves. But there was about, I would say, 9 to 11, depending on the cracks and the zigzags, of the stone around the carpet. And my commission was to just walk around with no shoes on, obviously, on the stone, like so. And I was talking in tongues. I didn't pray. And I don't know how many times I went around, but all of a sudden it said, inside, you're all done. Well, seeing myself as a cave probably would have fit if I didn't have a shack. So I kept that in mind. Now, why did I see myself as a shack instead of a temple? Because God says we are temples or tabernacles. Amen? Mm-hmm. But what God says and what we feel, two different orchestrations. So, for years, my vision of myself as that of a shack set apart and ugly inside and out, Jesus came in with his blood and he whitewashed this shack. You say, why is it still a shack? Well, it was a shack because that's what I believed from the words that I was given in my years of being brought up. Because how many know your parents will find fault with whatever you do wrong, and very rarely will they ever say, oh, you did it right.
Amen.
We're going to ask Zephaniah how many times he hears you did it right in the average week compared to, why didn't you do that? Why didn't you do this? You didn't this, and you didn't that, and you left fingerprints here, and you left fingerprints over there, and boy, I wish you were different. Tell me if that sounds like a temple to you. It sounds like a shack to me, full of holes. Why? Because that's where we've lived. We've lived under the orchestration of lips that were filled with criticalness.
Amen. Amen.
Fault finding.
Amen.
Everything legal.
Amen.
If you did it right, Then somebody could pass by with their white glove and check and make sure there was no dust. I'm not teasing. I'm telling you truth.
No, I was just saying, that's what my father did.
My mother did it with me.
My mother's still doing it with me.
That's okay. That was her job.
It's still her job.
It's still her job. Okay? What am I saying? We were brought up with wounds. Many children today are being brought up consistently with more wounds. Because that's where the parents are living. Under the legalism of the law and not under the blood. So, he is in the process of building me into a temple. Close your eyes. Say, he is in the process of building me
into his temple.
He's already moved in.
And he's living inside.
And I probably let him only into the front room. 1 Corinthians 3:16. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you, inside of you? Why? Because he couldn't do it from the outside. And God had to allow his son to die on that cross so that you could qualify to become a temple. Now, he already says you are, but your mental photograph is part-time shack, part-time black cave, and part-time temple. Is that right?
I said outhouse.
Yeah, outhouse is right.
You said lighthouse.
No.
She said outhouse. Well, outhouse and lighthouse, combinations, right? If you put the light on in the outhouse, you get light in there.
Amen.
All right. But very few Christians will go into the outhouse with the Lord. Because it's messy and it stinks.
Amen.
Why? Because that's where you pile up all the manure.
Come on.
What am I saying to you? You can use that manure as fertilizer if you want. Or you can cry about how ugly the smell is. And you'll have a miserable day. Miserable week and month. If you've made a mess, you've got an awesome father that says, I love you enough to provide my son's blood to cover the mess. He will neutralize whatever garbage you've had to be involved in. And yes, you may let him into the front room, but it's time now to take him into the bedroom. And into the kitchen where the stuff is cooking. Why? The stuff you think about for tomorrow is what you've got on the back burner. And you know what? The kids will say, is it soup yet? Because you see, whatever you're cooking is going to smell. If you're cooking up a storm, tell me what the smell is going to be like.
Like storm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, whatever you've got up here, if it's actually entered your heart, you're stewing on it. If you're rejoicing and giving thanks, what happens to the stew?
It simmers down.
Yeah. And the smell goes down, the fire goes out, and you begin to rejoice and you give thanks. And you say, God, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I'm going to praise you anyway. And guess what? You might have a quality dinner. And you can invite the Lord. He'll be sitting with you. He said, invite me to dinner. Open the door. I will come and sup with you. Why? If you're stewing over your problems, tell me if he's going to come and sit with you. You know what? You won't even think about him. You're going to be thinking about how ugly the shack is, etc., etc. Hebrews 5, verses 7 and 8. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Oh, reverent submission. Sound like Isaac? Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. That included verse 9. Verse 10 says, and was designated by God to be the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. You want your priesthood to be of that nature? You're going to go through stuff. Those of you who think you're going to go through the lily pad and not get wet, doesn't work that way. You're going to find all kinds of things about yourself in that walk with him. You're going to find that you need his blood more often than you probably ever conceived, the deeper you go. Amen. You're going to still fall flat on your face and realize that you're still thinking carnally when you least expect it. And when you see it, you run to the Lord. Or if you've got me on the phone, I'll kick you to the Lord. Gently. I rephrase that. Sometimes not so gently.
You need confirmation on that one.
But I will not agree with your pity party.
Amen.
I won't.
Amen.
All right.
If God cannot agree with mine, I need to be able to say no. I don't appreciate the way you're going. Uh-huh. Because if you head this way, you're going to crash. And I don't want to pick up your mess.
That's right. Amen.
So how about if we turn it around and begin to rejoice and give thanks? Because the one who can save you from all this garbage is the Lord and it's not me.
Right.
But I won't lie to you. I refuse. I will definitely lift you up. Mm-hmm. Compassionately love you back on the track. But I will not have a pity party with you. One on a pity pot is enough.
That's right. Amen.
One is enough. Well, I won't go there. I will not sit with you. Okay? And I don't treat my family any different. When I was on my little quest with my grandson, we talked about a lot of things. And I didn't expect to go there on Friday, but the Holy Spirit kept showing me my grandson and I in his car, and he's driving, and we're heading towards the prison. And I reminded him of his value. And he didn't want to hear it. How many know when you're hurting, you don't want to hear how much God is involved?
Amen.
So I made him a few checkups on his memory banks. I said, the year that your mom and dad got a divorce, that was, the division came in July of 1988. Halloween day, I get a telephone call from my friend, thank God, Maduka, up in Northampton. He said, Kim, what are you doing tonight? Oh, I've got the best job in town. I'm going to be helping my sweetheart, giving out candy to all the trick-or-treaters. He said, well, I have a real press in my heart to let you know that you need to be at the Hotel Northampton tonight. So I said, uh-huh. He said, well, I'm letting you know because we have a gentleman coming and he's going to be ministering and I really believe you need to be there. So, obviously, on the way home, I prayed, and the Lord said, yes, I needed to be in Northampton. So I went in the house, and I had a snack, and told my wife that she's on her own with the trick-or-treaters, and off I went to Northampton. There was a young man preaching. His name was John Paul Jackson. Some of you heard the story. He prophesied over me that I was going to have two more sons. And of course, I reminded him that my wife was not Sarah. But he also reminded me the following night that I could also adopt. But then I told him my dilemma, that I had lost two grandsons, and they were in a difficult space because of a divorce situation. He said, well, aren't those sons? Just because they're grand doesn't mean they're not sons. So I looked at James and I said, James, I've got news for you. That man had to fly from Kansas City, Missouri to Northampton, Massachusetts. The guy from Northampton had to call me in Springfield at the office to get me to go to Northampton that night so that I could hear a word that 5 years later you would be turned over to me and to your grandmother. So he says, if you're a piece of junk and if you're hopeless, then by golly, that man failed. But the fruit is that I took you personally to meet that man from Kansas City. Several years down the road, I believe you were 13 or 14. Do you remember shaking that man's hand and saying thank you? He says, yeah. Until he was able to continue to wipe his eyes and his ears, because it was probably difficult on the ears, and the eyes were full of water. And I reminded him that the only one that could set him free was Jesus himself. He can do whatever he chooses, but the end result was, I needed to pray on Tuesday for my grandson. And I had asked the Lord if it's to be made public. And he had said no. But you required prayer, young lady, for Christopher. I remember Christopher when he was 4 or 5 years old. Most handsome little boy that I've ever seen. His grandfather was probably as proud as any peacock you could find, bringing him to church, including you. Why? Because God had a plan to make these young men into priests. He had a plan and he's not changing his mind.
Amen.
Now, close your eyes for a moment. Say, he has a plan for me.
Yes.
To make me into a priest. In the order of Melchizedek. His plan hasn't changed. Just because I've got a little garbage. And I still think of myself as a shack. Part-time.
And now a temple.
Under construction.
Depending on my focus.
Hallelujah. The blood did not fail to clean me up. My mind is still coming through with the old patterns.
But God says,
I am a temple.
And I will continue
to go forward by choice.
In Jesus' name.
The reason for all this is that when you and I think of ourselves as a shack, how can we get a blessing? When you're constantly accusing yourself being a piece of junk, tell me, how can you receive God's best? During the time of the feast, when I shared some of this, one person spoke up and said, remember, the Holy of Holies was made out of wood, but it was covered with
gold.
God is wanting to pour gold inside of you from the inside. But you won't let him. Because your conditions are, I've got to be perfect in every way. I've got news for you. The perfect one already went to the cross. He gave you his perfection. That gold is available today. But if you still choose to look at yourself as the whitewashed barn, that's up to you. It's up to you. Are you ready for the gold? Are you ready to pour out the gold that he's already poured into you, into those that are broken? Are you ready? If you are ready, you need to change your attitude. Because you see, most people don't like to go to dinner in a shack. They'd like a tabernacle full of praise and worship. They'd like a tabernacle or a house of prayer that's filled with compassion and grace? It's up to you. Do I get a new vision of myself today?
Yes.
It's up to me. Couple more verses. When you realize in Ezekiel 36, verse 27, the Holy Spirit is to dwell inside of his believers. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep all of my laws. Whoa. It says my spirit in you. John 14, 17. The spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. When did that day of Pentecost come in? Several weeks later. When the Pentecost experience hit me, the Holy Ghost began to pray through my mouth. It began to speak to my papa through my mouth. What is he trying to say to you and I today? The anointing can change your future of your outlook of yourself. It's time to burn the shack. It's time to burn the shack and to see the temple only. Then you'll be ready to receive the ones that are broken. How many can feel a shift in here? Put your hand up if you can feel the shift. What am I doing? I am pushing buttons. I am pushing Holy Ghost buttons. Romans 8, 9. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. The Holy Ghost in us activates us to intercede for those that are more broken than we are. The Holy Spirit is available to each and every heart that says, I'm wanting to go higher. And those that you're holding in your heart, the Holy Spirit knows which ones he placed there. They are crying out for salvation, but they don't know that they need it. I didn't know the first time I went to that little Catholic church in West Warren that I was going to submit myself to a new level of life. I had no clue that that's what was going to happen. I hadn't been prepared. But God had prepared me. First John 2, 27. 1 John 2, 27. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you. Say, the remaining anointing is inside of me. And I don't need to teach anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you above all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Corporately, you are the body of Christ. He is dwelling in this room right now to hover over you, to change that which cannot be changed by natural man. Cannot be changed by natural man. You see, when you use your carnal nature to change yourself, you're going from one level of deception to another. But when the Holy Ghost begins his work, he will not fail to go to the victory and get you to rise from anything that died in you and bring it back to life under his anointing of gold. Now close your eyes. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
The gold that you have poured in me.
I appreciate.
And I'm grateful.
And
I'm telling you now.
I want to continue.
I want to understand. The love you have for me is so intense. It's starting to bubble out.
Once in a while.
To those in need.
Continue this process, Lord.
Make me into that temple
that is so full of life
and grace
and mercy
that all the fault-finding
of the past
will fall with the
shack
and burn up
under the fire of God's Holy Ghost.
I don't want to see myself as a shack anymore.
I want to see myself as a temple of the Most High.
A tabernacle of praise and glory.
And deliverance.
For His glory.
In Jesus' name.
He will deliver me.
He will not wait
another day.
If I say today
is the day of salvation.
If I declare with my mouth
and believe it in my heart,
I am a temple
under construction
for His glory.
Put your Bibles down. Say it again.
I am a temple
under construction
for the glory of God
to change my future,
to change those that are around me
for His glory,
for His glory,
for His glory.
His priesthood
is coming alive in me.
And I'm excited about tomorrow.
Now I'll even enjoy today.
Bless the food, Lord.
Make it holy.
Hallelujah.
We have an announcement.
Yes.